spilling the tea on Hollywood's A-listers.
I think that Drake is just being a misogynistic, you know, jerk.
Exposing scandals.
Cheating on me again. Cheating on me again. Cheating on me again. Oh, let's get married.
Digging the dirt.
Honestly, I don't know how much more rich she could get. Feels a little bit greedy.
And finding out what's happening behind the scenes.
He said in a couple of sentences about why he would never have a baby with her.
His identity is a secret, but he's broken some of the biggest scandals in Hollywood. It's Anti-Lawyer on Katie and Ed.
Anti!
Hola!
How are you?
I am doing well. Melissa, how are you?
You know what? I'm good. I'm so excited to talk to you about this past week's Coachella stuff.
Right, there's
Coachella's
a lot.
Coachella's like a gift. Like, whenever it happens, stuff happens, and it's like, yes.
Dust in the desert.
I thought that was Burning Man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is. But then that's more like duster, like people doing it rather than dust.
Yeah. Ugh, God, okay. Sean and Camila spotted making out at Coachella. Are they back on the bandwagon of, hey, we need publicity?
No.
Okay, first of all, would you call that making out, really? What I call it was Camila and Sean wasted out of their minds, and Camila, like, hanging on to Sean for dear life so she doesn't fall down, and decided that she wanted to go ahead and kiss him after she made sure somebody was there to take their picture.
Okay, see, what it looked like to me is that she really wanted it, like, to kiss him, and he literally was looking somewhere else, and his lips just worked.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't need a repeat of that. What they should be doing is focusing on their respective careers so that way they're not in the audience and they're up on the stage.
You know, at this point, especially with Shawn Mendes, the best publicity would be doing his career thing, his work stuff.
Yeah, I the money is going to run out at some point, Shawn. Yeah. And, you know, he's got enough hits where he, you know, and enough of following that he could go play casinos basically for the rest
God.
Of his life.
Oh, my God. He could.
Oh, hell yeah.
But also, Camila, like, she has nothing going on, right? So this is kind of an interesting move for her.
Yeah, I don't. But here's the problem with both of them, is that they can't decide whether or not they're singers or actors.
Yeah.
Lyle Lyle Crocodile does not make you a movie star. Some Cinderella that had to be pawned off through three different studios before it finally lands on streaming, it is not an acting career. Mm-hmm. And I think that they both need to kind of face that. Now, maybe Camila's like, oh, gosh, I just need an easy hit. Sean's the one to go to. Sean obviously has talent and can write songs and all this kind of stuff. And so I think that he needs to focus on that and do that.
Sean's kind of turning into like Craig Kilborn, where he left his career to become an actor, and then that just kind of lasted for like half of a movie.
And the problem with Craig Kilborn when he's acting is that he can only be an evil guy.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can see him as a romantic lead or anything like mm-hmm, that because mm-hmm. he just has this resting snark face. And so everybody can like see him as like evil.
So, Auntie, it's so funny. I'm just scrolling while we're talking to you, and coincidentally Camila she dropped a song snippet on Instagram. I have to play this for you. Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it.
How can it just so much better? Is this gonna end ever? I guess I'll fuck around and find
Whoops.
Out
whoa hey
Coachella. If you don't, it's whatever. If you do, honey, it'll be all I think about.
Ew. So this whole thing was planned even more now that we know she has a new song out and it talks about Coachella and them running into each other. Ugh.
You know, I mean, are we sure that's not AI generated like the Drake in The Weeknd?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was probably Drake's best song in years.
I have to say,
no, yes. Probably, yeah.
There are people who want him to perform those songs because they're just good.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's like Universal Music Group. They sounded like they were Metallica yelling about Napster is basically what it sounded like.
Yeah.
And And, you know, anybody out there who doesn't remember what Napster is, just Google it. But that changed the music industry. And honestly, at the time, the record labels were like, okay, this is going to really hurt artists and all this kind of stuff. They didn't care about artists. I mean, Metallica obviously stepped in because they thought it was going to hurt them mm-hmm. too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But really, if you think about it, now the record labels don't have to send out any actual product. It's just all, you know, over the cloud. And,
yeah.
and so they don't have any of that infrastructure, any of that other stuff. They don't have to do any of it. They don't have to keep stuff. They don't have to ship it. They don't have to return it. They don't have to stock it.
Yeah.
They don't have to keep record stores happy. They don't have yeah. any of that stuff. They still make the same amount of money. Well, who doesn't, and where it's going to have trouble is like Spotify.
Yeah.
Spotify can't stay in business with paying artists what they want. It's a losing business. It's negative. That's
yeah.
why Spotify is creating, if you go on Spotify, and it's mostly for their like chill channels, for a lack of a better
yeah.
term.
Yeah, chill wave,
every
man.
Every single one of those, you know, every single one of those practically is AI generated. And so they don't have to, and they give a different artist who's not really the artist. It's just a couple of people at a company that are just making the songs, and they put different artist names on them
mm-hmm.
and different artwork, which is all stock images. And Spotify doesn't have to pay any royalties. They pay these people to create the songs, but mm-hmm. then it stops. And that's, so if they start saying, gosh, well, we could have like, they don't even have to say like Drake and The Weeknd, but the more AI songs that you listen to, the more profitable they have a chance to become.
Yeah.
And Universal Music Group, what they should be doing is they should be embracing it and just releasing it as Drake and The Weeknd in quotes.
In quotes.
Oh, interesting. Well, I'm thinking about Drake, and what do you think he feels when he hears like one of these new AI songs and realizes that it's literally better than anything he's put out in a while? Like,
hey,
that stuff's so much better than anything he's put out. Does he care? He doesn't care, right?
I don't think that he cares. I mean, I could see where it would be like, wow, people like this better than they like my own stuff. And really, okay, the way it works now is, because it is all streaming, and this is the kind of crazy part, is that Drake and others just pay for bot farms.
Yes.
To, like,
right.
stream their songs and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So nobody, and then you guys, you go, oh, there's a new Drake song. And mm-hmm. and you feel almost forced to play it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you guys are in an especially bad predicament with Drake and The Weeknd, because they're both Canadian, so it gives you guys the easy to fill your Canadian requirement, right? So you're automatically going to do that. And it's what it does is, and I'm not speaking specifically to songs from Canadian artists, but I'm just saying, like, it's just when automatically a song comes out and you go, oh yeah, Beyonce's got a new song, whether or not it's any good, it still gets forced down people's throats, which mm-hmm. is how you get Imagine Dragons. And
aww, I love Imagine Dragons. What does that say about me? I think they're oh. great.
It says it says you probably listen to Nickelback on the ride home for
Whoa,
more.
Wow.
But do you see what I'm saying? I mean, Imagine Dragons is a very divisive thing. You either love Imagine Dragons or you can't change the station fast
enough. You're right.
But I think with Drake, it's just, oh, there's a new song. And obviously he can't afford to keep paying the bots every time. So after 1 week of being number one, when it falls down to number 50, you go, okay, there's something fishy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that take advantage of the Spotify thing and make a really decent living. And I'm talking about artists who you've never heard of, who realize, okay, because Spotify has programs for people who only get, say, 3,000 streams a day. You're not allowed to have more than 3,000 streams a day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what they'll do is they'll release a couple of hundred songs that they're also creating via AI, but using their voice.
Mm-hmm.
And just they'll make sure we're using bots and stuff that each one of those gets 3,000 streams a day. And if you have a couple hundred songs, you're making 50 or 60 grand a month.
Can we just get Frank Ocean to do that? Can Frank Ocean just sing into something for long enough that we can just collect the AI and make our own Frank Ocean
yeah.
songs?
I mean, that's a mess. Obviously, he's not playing the second weekend of Coachella
right.
now. And Blink 182, or as they say in Australia, Blink 182, is going to be playing there. And I mean, it seems like an obvious move. I mean, they had a great show. They moved from Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to, you know, Sunday night at 11. Everybody be excited about that. It's like they got Fyre Festival, even when it's not Fyre Festival.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning. People should have known right then, oh, who's the headliner at your festival? Oh, Blink 182. You know, that's a scam of a festival.
You
know, I'm just saying. I mean, I like Blink 182 fine. I think that they actually have a great, great, great show.
Oh, sure. I'm sure they do.
But people love it. And, you know, they got to play together, in, you know, first time in forever. I think it's a really good choice by Coachella. I have no things. I just, Frank Ocean, okay, I read one positive review other than Justin Bieber's.
From a Frank Ocean fan.
Justin Bieber slept through the whole set, or he was rolling or something.
He's high.
He was definitely sleeping or something. But there was a review written because I had talked about it, and it was beautiful writing, honestly. It looked like somebody was trying to submit something for like a college level writing class. It was really good writing.
Sure, yeah.
And it was the antithesis of every single other review, which like, this is crap. Oh my gosh, what am I looking? And this one person's like, the way that he didn't face the audience was so sublime, and how we had to really try and get a look at his face. Like, he's trying to get us to look at the words of his music, which is why he didn't play very many of his hits.
Yeah,
it was that kind of thing. It just went on for like several thousand words like that. And I was like, well, maybe they're seeing something that we're not. But he said he broke his leg or something. And
it really looked like
it. But he made sure to point out that it happened at the festival. I mean, he could have. Even if he broke his leg or sprained it or whatever, where the doctor said it's not going to be better, so I don't think that you should perform this weekend. Okay. In a week, he could have figured out how to make that work.
Yes,
instead
agreed.
Of a few hours. Like, if it, he could have sat on a stool. People would have been happy about that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to walk around. Nobody cares. Just, hey, if your leg's busted, sit on a stool, sit on a chair,
right.
Have the ice skaters going behind you, and it would be great. The idea of the ice skaters was, all right, desert. Sure, let's do it. And he had the perfect weekend for it because the temperatures were really cool at night. And so the ice would have worked, and all those hockey players had practiced for a couple of weeks and doing all this. And instead they said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to melt the ice, and these hockey players are just going to walk around.
Speaking of Drake and things that are artificial, what's going on with his abs? I think there's a lot of mystery around this.
I mean, they're bought and paid for. I mean,
God, yeah, but I would buy and pay for mine if I could.
Well, I mean, I did notice like a few years ago, maybe even longer ago, that, you know, Drake started to bulk up. It looked like he was working out. He probably had a lot of spare time to like start training and getting all strong and stuff. But like, this is just strange.
And the fact that he's always, always taking shirt off. Although, honestly, if you had abs, you know, wouldn't you want to take a lot of shirtless photos to say, look,
sure.
I've been working out.
Sure.
Look. You know, there's no drug testing in rock and roll. that's the thing, right? I mean, you go from, he has worked out. He's worked, you know, he has beefed up. Good for him. And I think that there's been a lot of, when you've got as much money as he does, you can do the best training, you can buy the best performance-enhancing things that you can buy,
mm-hmm.
and you've got somebody coming and saying, oh, we got to work out. I don't really want to. I don't care. We're working out, you know. You're paying me $300,000 or $400,000 a year to bug you and to do this, so let's do it.
His photos are just so cringe. He's just gross.
Well, he's trolling for the high school students.
It's just gross.
Oh,
that is just
God.
Disgusting. Hey, before we talk about Love is Blind, is Jamie Foxx okay?
Okay. I believe that he'll be fine. However, it's very interesting when you look at, nobody wants to say, they'll say medical incident or, and using a bunch of different words other than what it could possibly be. I did see somebody say, oh, it was a stroke. Okay, great. So have his daughter say it's a stroke. Have everybody else that is the source say stroke. Nobody's saying that. Everybody's saying medical incident or, you know, something to those, however, whatever term they can come up with without actually describing it. So then in the world of skepticism that is my life, you know, then I start thinking about when people use words other than what it is, because a stroke is a nice, simple explanation. You could say he had a mini stroke. He's going to be great. You know, he's on the road to recovery. This did not sound like that, where people were flying into Georgia and everything and family members, you know, to me, and I'm not saying that he was, so don't take that the wrong way. But I mean, it sounds like somebody would use this as an excuse for, say, like a drug overdose or something.
Does he have a history of that stuff?
I mean, he has. He's talked about it in the past.
Yeah.
And this would be very, you know, let me give you an example that the listeners would be remember is like when Demi Lovato, right? Where all of a sudden she's like, yeah, you know, I had a stroke or something. And then everyone's like, oh, okay. And then everybody figured out, because it takes Demi a little while to get to the truth, but that she had a drug overdose, right? And then she almost died.
Right, right.
But nobody said that at the beginning, right? They said, oh, she suffered, you know, something that caused her to be hospitalized, and they used all these vague terms. And then she said stroke. And then later on, you know, we knew it was a drug overdose and that she almost died.
Yeah.
It seems very eerily similar to the same kind of setup.
Enty, Love is Blind just wrapped its fourth season.
You know, it's just kind of interesting, like, everyone's coming out now, just after this season, talking about these are the contestants, saying that, like, the producers deprived them of food and sleep and, you know, preyed on their anxieties and refused to let them quit the show. And this is, like, common stuff. Like, we actually talked to Kelly Chase. She was on season one, and she's the one who left Kenny at the altar.
Oh, my God.
And she said,
so, and I witnessed other castmates of mine having like anxiety attacks or panic attacks on set. No, there was not, you know, we did not have like a therapist or mental health support on site.
Like, that's just not a thing with reality shows, right? Like, the producers just use the contestants full through and through.
Okay, there's different kind of things this, and I know that you were fangirling that woman when you had her on. I can just tell by the way you talked about it and by the way you send me like 20 emails about Love is Blind reunion.
Oh my God, I wanted to know if that delay was set up. Because so many people were mad.
I don't think the delay was set up at all.
Okay.
I think that, here's why I know it wasn't set up. Is because Vanessa and Nick, the poor hosts that they are, and they probably wouldn't have done better anyway, is that, remember, Netflix said, okay, the live thing's not working, so we're going to just record it, and we'll send it out to everybody when it's finished. But actually, there were people who watched it live. They were able to get in, but Vanessa didn't know that they were there watching. And so a lot of things, like, there was feedback in the microphones, and there was a hot mic that somebody in the control room. I don't think Netflix quite realized that some people had got in. It's not everybody. It's kind of like going to buy tickets. You know, some people got in and you're like, I didn't get a chance to get in. And 95% of the people didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
But 5% of the people did. And I think finally towards the end of the 75 minutes, Netflix knew about it because people were tweeting about it and stuff and what they were hearing. So my big thing going into it, and the only reason I even cared, was because of Jackie.
What a
gift.
And
all the fake death threats.
Yeah.
And I was speculating whether or not she was if she was just using it as an excuse not to go to the reunion. And then, of course, she did it by Zoom. So I guess that was her reasoning for that. But as far as the mental health, there's a great show which I cannot think of the name of right this second. It was actually filmed in Vancouver, and it's a behind the scenes thing of a show similar to The Bachelor. And you can see it is, you know, obviously dramatized, but you can see the kind of things that the producers do, and it's very, very realistic. However, Love is Blind and shows that are on networks that haven't, say, taken off, right? We're first season, second season. We don't have therapists and stuff. We're just taking whoever you can give us. Sometimes we're going to fake the storyline. Sometimes we're going to bring in people that are actors to like stir up the drama just so we can get picked up and get renewed. And we'll have a higher budget. And this, okay, Survivor, I think the first season, and I'm not, I just want to use it for dramatic purposes. These numbers are not accurate, but let's say they had 200 people the first season, maybe 150 crew and stuff. And now they have somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000.
Jeez. Yeah.
Okay. So you can see that, okay, well, with 2,000, what we're going to do is we're going to take very good care of these contestants. We're going to make sure they're not hurt. We're going to have people on staff. We're going to do all of this stuff and, you know, monitor, and we do this. And also, they've been on the air a long time.
Yeah.
So they know what to look like. They have extensive screenings, because this is, especially for a survival show or Amazing Race or something like that, where it's network backed and you have a lot of contestants putting in highly stressful situations. We need to make sure that they're going to be okay. We don't want somebody on Survivor in one of these challenges to kill somebody else.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
So they have these huge background checks. But there have been people, there was a reality show where somebody did die or something in the first season. And so the season never aired. And we found out later the producers really didn't do a good job of doing background checks. So something like Love is Blind, even though it's on Netflix, which is a massive streaming company or whatever, the first season, they go, well, here's your budget.
Right, yeah. Okay.
And the producers are like, we want to make sure this gets picked up. Let's get enough drama. Let's keep them up. Let's get them drunk. That's one of the favorite tricks. And they used to do this all the time on Bachelor in Paradise, is just try and keep them drunk. And the only time that reality shows are real, it's very few and far between, and it's things like the first season of Jersey Shore. Those guys, because they all kind of knew each other or whatever, and so they were working well, but they had a real job. They were actually working at that place, and so that was kind of real. The first season of Real World, because the producers, they're just like, let's throw these people in a thing and let's just film it. And I would argue probably the first two or three seasons of Real World was like that. But, you know, and also there's certain rules, like in Survivor, it's covered in the U.S. under game show rules. So they really can't manipulate it or anything that they want. Unlike, say, Dancing with the Stars, which is not covered by the game show rule, even though every year when I say something is fake or some other person does, they'll go, oh, no, we're covered by the game show rule. You're not.
Yeah.
They're not.
Okay.
Because it's subjective, right? It's not objective. In Survivor, it's objective.
Right.
You know, you either win this competition or you don't. You either find the immunity idol or you don't. An Amazing Race, we're going to edit it to make it look like the race was closer or whatever, but it's objective. Somebody finishes first, somebody doesn't. On Dancing with the Stars, it's subjective. People are just giving the scores, and the scores are totally based on whatever somebody thinks. So that's kind of why. It depends on the show.
You know, I find it really funny because, you know, they'd like to push the envelope on like reality TV. And, you know, you think that that's what they do. That everything's real. Everything's raw. They want you to assume that. One of the most terrible things to happen, you know, in our modern reality TV is the episode of Jersey Shore. You'd brought it up where Snooki got punched. And so you're saying you document this real lifestyle. Which, it's a terrible thing. I'm not saying it's funny. I'm not saying it was cool.
It's kind of funny.
But every subsequent airing, it's edited out. So, like, how real did you want it to get if now you're editing a really terrible thing out of an episode? Like, did it just go beyond what they were hoping for? That sort of thing.
Yeah. And then the problem becomes is that then the producers of the show then, you know, when they have spinoffs or whatever, and they're a very good producer of reality shows, but then they go, okay, well, this is what worked for us on Jersey Shore the first season, so let's try and replicate it. Let's try and duplicate it. So for a new show, and then they go, well, we need a villain. We need some guy like this. And then it becomes scripted. It's kind of, I'll give you another example. The first season of The Kardashians was real. Right. I mean, there were certain setups. It was when it got beyond, I don't know, the fifth or sixth season or whatever, and they're like, oh, we got to reshoot that. Or because they were trying to keep themselves in the news so much that they had to adjust the storylines or whatever to reflect what was happening and stuff. And now on the Hulu one, it's just all scripted. And if you don't think that the Hulu cameras were there, documenting Kendall Jenner watching Bad Bunny, Kourtney Kardashian watching Blink 182, and, right. You know, Landon was there, and Charli D'Amelio was there, you know, and they were, okay, can you guys really look loved up? We need that TikTok crowd. And now I guarantee you there's going to be some kind of plot point where it's like, well, Frank Ocean, he had to drop out. So, oh my gosh, we're going to be headlined and we only have 4 days to get ready. And,
right.
And then, and Kim will call Courtney, and Courtney goes, I can't talk to you right now. It's stress, you know, with this last minute thing. And then Kim goes, oh my gosh, well, we'll go out there to support you. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, I can see the storyline playing itself out right now.
When in actual reality, it's not that big of a deal because the band is usually ready to play, especially a band like that.
Well, also, they had just played the week before the same amount of time that they're going to play on this one.
Yeah.
And, you know, they might want to tweak some things or add some elements because it's a headlining thing. Maybe they want fireworks at the end like Blackpink. But it's, you know, it's just, it would be undramatic. Now, if they hadn't played in 5 years or whatever, mm-hmm. and they're like, we have 4 days to get everything back together, yeah. that would be dramatic. But Coachella also wouldn't have hired them with 5 days to go like that.
Right. It's just so interesting how reality shows are so fake and set up. And yeah.
Enty, what you are known for, your world famous celebrity blinds. What do you have for us this week?
I've got a possible feud to discuss.
Yes.
So there's a, and I'm going to make it easy too. So, but there's a A-plus list singer that's currently on tour. And this A-plus list singer has a collaborator that they sometimes work with who is also an A-plus list singer, foreign born.
Okay.
Also doing some touring. And the first person who's on tour said, you know, I'd like my collaborator. I wonder if I can get him to come sing a song or two with me on these particular dates,
uh-huh.
these specific dates. Picked a couple where, you know, he was available and he has said no.
Ooh. Is it because this other person's light it shines brighter? Like they both have documentaries out about their mental health or soon to be, right?
I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I just know that it's just very interesting. And this feud has been kind of expanding and widening over the years because the guy in this one has kind of just swept under the rug his relationship with a music producer, that manager, that.
Okay. It's not who I thought it was then. So it's just one guy in this story.
Yeah, it was just one guy.
Okay. Oh, I don't know who it is then. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, the mental health person that you're speaking of, I mean, that's a really good documentary.
It's excellent.
Yeah, it's fun.
I loved it.
Yeah. So, it's just, it was really moving. And I'm not a fan of, you know, it's the songs necessarily, but I really like him as a person.
Enty, it's a pleasure as always. Thank you so much.
Hey, you guys have a great weekend.
Thanks, Enty. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.